Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we will worship in Psalm chapter 12. Have you ever heard a song about life and death that seems to have an angst to it because the stakes are high? Have you ever been in an emergency where there's just a step between you and death? When you're about to impact just before an accident, or you're slipping off the edge of a trail with a fall below, you don't pontificate or struggle to find the right word. The right word just blurts out of your mouth, help. And that's what David blurts out at the beginning of Psalm 12, a psalm about words, dangerous words, words that can hurt us, and pure words that can protect us. Verse 1, help, Lord, for there's no one faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Help, Lord. Those two words, brief, yet powerful. David goes to the Lord, whose words are faithful and true, because no one, he says, is faithful anymore. No one in the human race. But why does he say that? What does David mean here? Well, he unpacks it a little bit more in verse 2. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts. Okay, so David means their words can't be trusted. Everyone lies, they flatter, and harbor deception in their two-faced hearts. Go back to verse 1 for a second. For no one is faithful anymore. The loyal have vanished from the human race. Here in verse 2 he says, everyone lies. It's like David is giving up on humanity here. And maybe you've felt like that before. You've been betrayed and in the bitter sting of being let down by people that you depended on, people you trusted, who turned and were fake and false, you just kind of give up. In those moments, it feels like we just can't trust them. And if we can't trust them, then who can we trust? And with that question hanging in the air, David turns to the one he knows is always faithful, who doesn't lie, who doesn't flatter, who never harbors deception, but always speaks true. He turns to the Lord, the one whom David learned faithfulness from, the one he can turn to when he can't turn to anyone else. Verse 3. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. The heading of this psalm calls it a shemineth, which means male voices, literally. Perhaps this was the closest thing you could get to a chant, almost like a rap. It sounds like men talking together in low, deep voices in punctuated equilibrium. They're talking a bunch, David says, but they're saying nothing. A bit like our social commentators these days. And David wants to silence them now. And in this, I can hear the music dramatically stopping. Perhaps in the very moment where David says, may the Lord silence all flattering lips. At this part of the song, the music stops on a dime. And then the male chanting builds to a crescendo through the first two verses and then suddenly here stops. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. Pause for dramatic effect. But then the music begins again, the cello being struck with strokes in a rhythm of talking as the voices make noise again, dramatically sounding off at verse 4. Those who say, by our tongues we will prevail, our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? Our own lips will defend us. Wow, these people really rely on their ability to talk themselves out of any and every situation. All their lives they get by on being false. But that can only go so far, before people eventually find you out. But even when people who lie are exposed in their lies, have you ever noticed they still try to talk their way out of it? They even think here they can talk their way out of things when it comes to God. Who is Lord over us? They boast arrogantly. They imagine that when they appear before God, they'll be able to stand or speak. But in a quivering mass of jelly, they'll only be able to prostrate themselves, bowing the knee and neck to him, and the only words they'll find whimpering out of their mouths to their own astonishment will be, "Jesus is Lord." In verse 5, they'll get a taste of it when God rises up in the here and now. "Because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them." Those are the words of God. Now, God has spoken into the psalm. He is faithful. And if this is what he says, this is what will be. Verse 6. "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. Note the contrast here between what God says and what his words mean versus the words of man. And here we see those words purified in a crucible. The hotter the fire, the more furious the flames. The more faithful God's word shines out in the crucible. It's been tested many times before, not just in your life, not just in David's. And God always comes through on keeping his promises. Let's look at a few examples of God keeping his word of judgment. They didn't believe that they'd be swept away in the Old Testament by the Babylonian kingdom until it happened and they were dragged away. Then there was AD 70. Jesus had predicted the destruction of the temple. Again, they didn't believe it until one stone was taken off another, just like Jesus said. There are many instances in David's own life, and now maybe you can think of some occurrences in your own life where God was proven right and every man a liar. David's strength here is that he trusts God's words personally. They stand out to him with flawless purity against the sewage being spewed by the human race, a pure drop in a sea of noise. And this brings David to declare in verse 7, "You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked, who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race." Sounds like our time today. David knows that God's word will keep him secure, even if it doesn't change his current circumstances or what people do. And that's a tough one. Most of us would love the world around us to conform to God's standards. Instead, like David, we see them freely strutting about, honoring vileness. David includes the entire human race here because it's not just a cultural problem after all. It is a human problem. It's what happens when we reject God's word and fill the vacuum with our own. So friends, thanks for joining me today to listen to God's words and to draw encouragement and strength from what he says. And as one author wrote, we read to know we are not alone. David wasn't alone. And you're not alone either, my friend. God is here. God knows, God sees, and God has spoken. And the words of men will not be the final word.